Aloha, everybody. This is As You Wish Talk Radio, live from Aceti. This is Ashley sitting in for James Gilliland, who's speaking at the Awaken Empowered Expo in Detroit this weekend. If you are in the Detroit area, tomorrow at 8:30, he'll be on a panel talking about ET influences. He's doing his workshop at 10:45. And then a consciousness panel tomorrow evening at 5:30. So I'm sitting in for him. I hope you'll stay with me through the hour. As I've shared previously, when I've sat in for James, sometimes when I get nervous, I speak a little fast. So I'll do my best not to do that to you tonight. It's a powerful time. Are you all feeling it? As we're getting closer and closer to the election coming up on Tuesday, and with the activities ramping up in the Standing Rock Reservation in North Dakota, there's a lot of anxiousness in the collective consciousness. So I thought I'd start tonight first by doing the healing negative influences process. And when I thought about doing, I thought about clearing for the election, but I figured we'd be doing that for a long time because there's so much around that. So we'll just go into our hearts, those of you that are in a place where you can center and go into a meditative state. I'm just going to set the intention to clear the collective consciousness, to bring as many of us as possible back into our hearts. I'm going to welcome in Kazekiel, the seventh dimensional Lord of eternal bliss from the plane of eternal bliss, who holds the frequency of the Stargate here at Aceti. And also Bacall, the 17-foot-tall feline being from the Sirian star system, protector of the gods and the goddesses. And the beautiful Andromedan ambassador from the Andromedan Council of Light, the Divine Leah. I'd like you all to go into your hearts and step into your mastery as we welcome all entities in love and light. We speak to you all from the Lord God of our being, telling you all you are healed and forgiven, lifted and enlightened. Healed and forgiven, lifted and enlightened. Filled and surrounded with the divine light and the divine love, and we ask the beautiful many to escort you all to your perfect place. Go in peace. If you do not come in the name of divine light, you must leave. If you do not come in the name of divine love, you must leave. If you do not come in the name of divine truth, you must leave. And if you are not part of the awakening and healing process from the Lord God, Goddess of our beings, we insist that you leave as we give thanks to the beautiful many for escorting you all to your perfect place. Go in peace. And all of you listening, if you could just breathe into your heart center. Breathe into that divine knowingness within you, that we are all one. In these days and these months that have been leading up to the election, the concept of unity consciousness, at least as it's portrayed across the lamestream media and in the news, feels in many ways like we've gone back in our evolution. When I was considering doing this show tonight, I started thinking about what was happening in the news and who I could bring on to interview. But to be honest with you, I I wanted to raise the frequency beyond the divisiveness and the finger pointing and look at what happens starting Wednesday after the election. Many of us have been holding space that the election would not take place, and there still is a chance that that may happen. There are still several sleeps, if you will, before the actual election date. Some of you may have read Benjamin Fulford's letter this week that came out. He spoke about General Joseph Dunsford sending out a letter to all military personnel about upholding the Constitution. Upon reading that letter, I immediately called one of my heart daughters to ask if her husband, who is active military, received such a letter, and to this date, he has not. If anyone out here listening knows of someone who has received that letter or has received that letter themselves, if you could please email it to us. We'd like to see firsthand proof. The other concern for me personally about Benjamin Fulford's pronouncement was his seemingly calling Bill Gates one of the good guys. And those of you that are aware of the Agenda 21 adherence of the Gates Foundation and his pushing of vaccines and chemtrails may beg to differ with that pronouncement. So sometimes it's really hard to know what is truth. So again, raising it to a higher frequency, and that may not fit with some of you, and I understand that. We've been getting lots of different emails on both sides of the political equation, if you will. Recently, this reminded me of a book I read. If you'll humor me, I'd like to tell a story of a book I read back in the 80s when I was assigned to work on the island of Jamaica for about 4 months. The book was a political novel written by the author Alan Drury. Some of you may remember him, some of you may be too young to remember him. But he himself worked in political government offices for some time and then became an author. And he wrote a book, a political drama, that was published in 1968. I read it in the 80s, called Preserve and Protect. And the story of the book was all about a political party and two different nominees or candidates, if you will, for the nomination of their party. Back in those days, of course, they were both white men. One of them was named Knox and the other was named Jason. One was more pro-peace and the other was more pro-war. And the book was all about their election, their nomination process, and all the sludging that happens and the name-calling. And the end of the book, in the final chapter, one of them has won the nomination and has asked the other to be his vice presidential candidate. And it's an outdoor setting, and they're standing on the stage, each with their wife standing next to them, one pro-peace, one pro-war. And in the last chapter of the book, there is an explosion as an assassination attempt takes place. And the final paragraph, as I remember it, says, "And after the dust cleared, one husband and one wife, but not the same husband and wife, stared at each other across the carnage, knowing that their lives would change forever." And the book ended, and you didn't know which one survived. Was it the pro-war candidate, or the pro-peace. And Alan Drury, the master storyteller, had me sitting on the edge of my seats in Jamaica because I didn't have the next book. I was finally able to get it sent down to me, but there were actually two different storylines that took place. And in his first book, Come Nineveh, Come Tyre, one of the gentlemen survived. I'm going to say the pro-peace, I don't remember. And he went on to become president, and that timeline was played out. And then the other, the pro-war candidate, survived, and he went on to become president. And so in comparing that to what's happening now, it almost feels like we're at the brink of two potentially different timelines. And to be honest with you, neither one of them is the one that I want to sign up for. I keep thinking of Marty McFly going back in the DeLorean. And then I thought, you know, I'd really rather call down my Andromedan friends and go forward until we can see how this plays out and what is happening here on the Earth plane, how it is actually going to contribute to the awakening and healing process. Because we have to believe in our hearts that we are on a path that cannot be turned back. That humanity and consciousness and our spiritual awakening is on a path that cannot be turned back. And so with that, I'm speaking to those of you, the light workers, that have through this entire election scenario have been holding a higher frequency. To be honest, neither one of the candidates stepping forward to be president holds the frequency that I would like to see being the example in the United States. Neither one of them is for the highest and best of this country. Hillary Clinton, although she was born a woman, has so many atrocities under her belt that I doubt that there is a heart left within her, and I know that may anger some of you. Donald Trump, for all he professes to be about change, has indeed played the role of shaking things up, showing how the lamestream media decides what news you will hear, what opinion you will form. And at the same time, whether he has said all the atrocious things about women or not, whether he has said all the atrocious things about immigrants or not, the one thing he hasn't done is denounce them. But perhaps what needs to happen is the wake-up call needs to be so loud in order to truly get the American public to stand up and say this system is broken. We no longer give our power away to those who use corruption to fill their coffers and those of their friends. And we no longer give our power away to individuals who use divisiveness and hatred to further their own agenda. None of the above. That's my choice. What happens after Tuesday? Regardless of which side of the fence you are on or whether you are above it, it's beginning a new chapter and a new opportunity for all of us to claim back our power. The interesting thing that regardless of what happens on Tuesday, nothing is actually etched in bronze until the Electoral College meets in December and the inauguration takes place in January. And the reason I'm sharing that is because we may be headed into a couple months of chaos and unrest. Where are you in your heart? Are you holding space for healing, or are you in anger? Are you feeding the lower frequencies? Or are you holding space for whatever is in the highest and best? Some may call that naive. I call it moving into the fifth dimension. Unity consciousness. Looking into the eyes of another and seeing your own reflection. I believe the light workers are going to be called on over these next 2 months to hold space, to send healing to the collective consciousness, to hold the frequency that we as humanity do have the ability to break free from these old power over others programs and move into what we have held space for so long. Call me naive. But I would much rather hold that frequency than be caught up in fear and anger. Feel into your own heart. What is the world and the reality you would like to co-create? There is a Hindu teaching, the Isha Upanishad, that says, he who sees all beings in his own self and his own self in all beings loses all fear. He who sees all beings in his own self and his own self in all beings loses all fear. Unity, consciousness. Now is the time for us to stand up and hold space. I recently saw something on YouTube by Elizabeth Jaroz, J-A-R-O-S-Z, called Behind the Glass. Believe it or not, she was one of the participants in one of the apprentice shows, and she now runs focus groups. Normally with a focus group, you bring in a focus group and ask them questions about a product or a slogan or a brand, and then they go on their way. But in this case, what she did was she brought in a focus group, one of Trump supporters and the other of undocumented immigrants. And she interviewed the Trump supporters while the undocumented immigrants were on the other side of a one-way glass. And then she switched the scenario, interviewed the undocumented immigrants while the Trump supporters were on the other side. And then she brought them all together. And once they were able to see each other as human beings and individuals rather than a group or a label that was placed on them, walls came down. Fears came down, and many of them became able to find common ground. I was very fortunate in being brought up in a family where our parents taught us that no matter the color of our skin or our religion, we all bleed the same color blood.
see the uniqueness in each person we encounter. And again, I know that for some of you this may seem quite naive, but isn't that what unity consciousness is all about? Isn't that what we who say we're on our spiritual path are all about? Finding the common ground, seeing each other's soul. So I'm not going to get into who's right or who's wrong in this election because, to be honest, I don't find either one of them attractive. My question is, how do we, the people, how do we begin to bring in the change that this election has shown we so desperately need? An example of that is what's happening in Standing Rock Reservation right now. Those of you that listened into last week's show heard Tashina talk about the atrocities that happened, what they're up against, the fact that this pipeline was originally supposed to go through Bismarck, North Dakota, and because the people that live there didn't want their water polluted, it was moved onto sacred indigenous lands. And although much of the press talks about the Native Americans, there are people there from all cultures, all races, all religions, and from around the world. I had the honor last Wednesday of hosting a meditation in support and healing for Standing Rock. We had 70-some people on the call. And we held space, and we did clearings, and we sent healing both to the water protectors and to those that were wearing the riot gear, had their hands on tasers, guns that shot rubber bullets. But it's not about being angry, is it about holding a frequency to shift the consciousness? Our group on Wednesday night was one of an infinite number across the planet sending love and light to this situation. It was fascinating the next time I logged on to Facebook to see that the next day after we and others were holding space, that two police officers had turned in their badges. According to an indigenous elder there named Red Hawk, these police officers acknowledge that this battle is not what they signed up for. Just as many of the oath keepers across the country have signed up to stand in support of the Constitution, these police officers had their eyes woken up because of the nonviolence of the water protectors, who the media still tries to call protesters, because of the frequency that puts them in. The same day, there were 500 clergy of various denominations at Standing Rock doing ceremony and prayer, and over 100 that gathered in the Capitol. And you may have read that they ceremonially burnt a copy of the Doctrine of Discovery that was instituted in 1493, that gave the explorers the right to take occupancy of any lands where the beings, the indigenous people, were not following the Christian religion. It didn't matter if the lands were occupied by indigenous peoples, because they were considered heathens, and the Christian occupiers were considered civilized. On Thursday of this week, ceremonially, this doctrine of discovery, supported back in the 1400s by the church, was burnt It may just have been ceremonially, but for many of the indigenous people, it began a healing. If you've been following along on James's Facebook page, I've been posting quite a bit about what's happening at Standing Rock because it is a microcosm of what's happening in the United States and across the world. This pipeline is all about greed, corruption, not honoring Mother Gaia, what is good for the few, regardless of how it impacts the many. You think the water problem in Flint was a catastrophe? You have no idea what will happen to the water supply of the earth when this pipe leaks and the Missouri River and the waterways are contaminated. It is all part of Agenda 21. James has spoken about that for quite a long time. So this is not a First Nations issue. It's an issue about humanity, and it is an issue about our planet. I have been blown away by how powerful it has been for the people on the front line at Standing Rock to stay in ceremony and prayer, regardless of what's happening around them. It is true that they have been human and at times have gone into fear. I think I might as well if rubber bullets were being shot at me or if my elders in a ceremony in a sweat lodge were being dragged out. But the women of Standing Rock, the grandmothers and the aunties, are holding the space in peaceful protest. They, tomorrow, on Sunday, November 6th, are conducting a forgiveness walk, walking to the police department in order to offer forgiveness to the police and the powers that were. It's happening between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. Pacific time, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. North Dakota time. And there's a very powerful phrase in the recording we're about to play you in a moment. Forgiveness means we respond to anger with love. Forgiveness means we respond to anger with love. I'd like you to listen in to this clip that Doug, our producer, is going to play and feel into your being how this feels for you.
We're going to walk from Legion Park in Mandan, North Dakota, to the Morton County Police Station as a prayer and as a ceremony of forgiveness.
Because they have caused some atrocities that need forgiveness.
They've been firing rubber bullets, they've been macing people, they've been tasing people. Forgiveness does not mean that what happened was okay. Forgiveness means that we choose to respond to hatred with love.
Forgiveness is a higher level, almost at the highest level of humanity.
When we fall to anger and to hatred, we become the very thing that hurt us.
We cannot hold on to pain, anger, fear, distrust, all of those things that keep us down. We have to let those go because we want to rise up.
Wo'akiktunje is the word for forgiveness. Even though there's things falling apart around you, you're standing strong with your prayer to maintain that willingness and that effort to give compassion even in the most difficult times.
In order for us to grow and take that next step, we have to forgive.
You hear all these really hateful things towards the police, which you can kind of understand where this comes from and why people are angry. And yet, ask any one of the women on the front lines who got maced, who got beaten, and she will tell you the world does not need more hatred. We have enough of that. We're not giving up. We're not saying we don't care about the water.
We're going up there to raise the level of understanding with them, that we're not here to hurt them. If we have, we're sorry. We're not here to hurt them. We're here to protect the water. We're here to protect the people.
When we forgive, we can think clearly again. We can act positively again. And we can serve Mithakwe Oyasin, all of our relations, the way that our ancestors did.
We're always in prayer. That's one of our gifts of our people, is that we're always in prayer.
When we forgive like this, we create some of the strongest medicine in the world. That's what our ancestors said, is that forgiveness is some of the strongest medicine in the world.
And in turn, if there's anything that we've done to harm them, it will set the stage for them to forgive us too.
Not everyone's ready to forgive, and that's okay, because everyone forgives at their own pace, and maybe someone will never want to forgive, and that's okay. We are just extending the invitation.
On Sunday, we are going to go to Mandan, North Dakota, to a park, Legion Park, off Highway 6. We're going to march to the police department, and we're going to say, we forgive you.
We can really bring the spirit of Wawakiktunje back to this earth in this very hard time when there's so much violence being inflicted on water protectors, to take the time to forgive so that we can be free from the burden of hatred and so that the police can be free from the burden of guilt. A lot of people want them to feel guilt. A lot of people want them to feel shame. But we know that at the end of the day, these are our relatives. This palm is the proof that we come from one mother way a long time ago. And so when we forgive, we help to restore the truth and we help to dispel the illusion that we are enemies.
For me, this recording and the video that accompanied it was incredibly powerful. Again, with Standing Rock as the microcosm of what's happening across our country here in the U.S. with the elections right now. Forgiveness means we respond to anger with love. Someone posted a comment on the Facebook page after I posted the video, saying, well, if you don't have anger, there's no need for forgiveness. And perhaps that is true. But again, with so much divisiveness being pumped into the collective consciousness, is forgiveness one of the pathways to bring us back to unity consciousness? Years ago, when I lived in Australia, there was a woman who I went to see who did satsang. She told the story about how she was walking in her community at night. She was attacked and brutally raped, and a rapist had a knife to her throat and was about to kill her, and she looked him in the eyes and said, I forgive you, and I love you. And he dropped the knife and he ran away, and she had an awakening. And from there, she never looked back. For that moment in time, when faced with the fear of death, she instead chose to go into forgiveness and love. James often talks about the wars in Orion and the fourth dimension, and how the seers came from the sanctuaries into the city to talk to the Orion Council of Light and to state that the reptilians were on their way to fight and to battle, and the Orions had to retrofit the exploratory craft in order to defend themselves. The council said no. The reptilians did attack and there was loss of life until those that bucked the system chose to retrofit the equipment anyways and were finally able to beat back the reptilians. But how much war do we have to go through? How much more divisiveness and anger do we have to live through before we as humanity say enough is enough? When we hear the news on Tuesday, whether it's the real winner, whether it's a rigged winner, whether it's the winner that the powers that were all along wanted to come into power,
There has been a lot of talk about revolution, about rioting, about shooting. So I call upon all you light workers to be prepared to find forgiveness and to hold a higher frequency. I don't know that I choose to continue to remain in a society that hates each other, that divides and conquers and puts down the same thing over and over again. How many lifetimes are we going to live through this until we say enough? Many say that we're waiting for our extraterrestrial brothers and sisters to step in to fix the problem. Leah from the Andromedan Council of Light, their message is that it's us that needs to heal within first. Yes, there is still potentially an event to happen between election and inauguration day, but where are you holding space for? What frequency are you holding in your heart? Are you holding anger at one political party or the other? Are you holding the higher frequency of the unity consciousness? I'm not one to stick my head in the sand. I stay informed. I read InfoWars. I read the left-wing side. I don't talk about it much because usually people find fault. But again, within my being, there has to be another way. And it begins with each and every one of us. It begins with those who are brave enough to go to Standing Rock and take a stand. Down to those of us that are willing to say, I will not listen to you talk about other humans that way. And I will not, before someone who is a woman but has murdered many people, nor will I before a gentleman who shakes up the system but brings up the wounds of many women who have been sexually abused, derided, put down. It is time for the men to say no more locker room talk that is about abusing women. It is time for the women to say just because someone has a uterus doesn't mean she's the right woman for the job. Looking within, holding space. Where will your heart be the Wednesday after the election? What is your plan for holding the timeline of change? What is your plan for sending healing tomorrow along this forgiveness walk and sending healing to the collective consciousness after the election on Tuesday? Breathe into that. Feel into your hearts of what world you wish to create. What do you want your children's children's children to know about the stand that you took at this time? It is a very important time in the evolution of humanity. And what you can do personally is hold that space in your heart.
he or she who sees all beings in his or her own self and his or her own self in all beings loses all fear. Breathing into your heart center. Feeling connected to all of the aesthetic community listening on this call that have been holding space for the new republic, the new reality, and the shift into the fifth dimension. Recognizing that unity consciousness begins within each and every one of us. And we're going to have human days. I certainly do. Just ask the crew around here. And yet then you dust yourself off and you recommit. Unity consciousness. Being authentically you, opening your heart, seeing the frequency that you choose to live in and living it within yourself. On Wednesday, after the election, I am doing a special teleconference. It's by donation. It's a healing meditation post the election. I'll do more meditation in that, bring in more information. I honor each and every one of you and your own choice and feelings about what's happening. It's an important time in the evolution of humanity, and we can hold space that what is happening is the last-ditch effort of the powers that were to infiltrate the collective consciousness with divisiveness, anger, fear that someone else is going to take away from me something I hold dear to myself. I love the saying, I wonder what it is within that person that hurts so much that the only way they can lessen their pain is to strike out at me. And do the clearing once again. Welcoming in all the benevolent beings of light. We welcome all entities in love and light. We speak to you all from the Lord God of our being, telling you all you are healed and forgiven, lifted and enlightened. Healed and forgiven, lifted and enlightened. Filled and surrounded with the Christ light and the Christ love. And we ask the beautiful many to escort you all to your perfect place. Go in peace. We have about 10 minutes left in the hour. And I haven't announced this before, but Doug, if you want to open the phone lines if anybody wants to call in. And remember that tomorrow, Sunday, from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific time, if you feel like tuning in and holding space for the Forgiveness Walk in North Dakota, that audio recording that you heard, you can find the source Lila June, L-Y-L-A, June, on Facebook or on Twitter, at Lila June, L-Y-L-A, June. She was the younger voice that you heard. She is a musician, a poet, an anthropologist, a community organizer, and her video is also on James's Facebook page. In addition, I want to give a shout out to all of you who so kindly opened your hearts, joined us last Wednesday for the healing meditation for Standing Rock. As I said, we raised about $1,800 that will be going towards tents that are winterized for the Red Warrior Camp at Standing Rock. with Tashina. Again, if you're in Detroit, James is speaking tomorrow, 8:30, on a panel on ET influences. They may talk about the election. Who knows? He's doing his workshop at 10:45 to 12:45, bringing in the multidimensional beings and clearing negative influences. And then he's on a consciousness panel at 5:30 in the evening. The ranch has now closed for the winter season. It's cold and damp and windy. The leaves are all off the trees. But this winter, we will be doing some virtual gatherings, so staying tuned for that. The new Yseti website, Yseti.org, which I joke and says looks like a 1970s house in bad need of renovation. The foundation is up. I now just need to paint the walls and hang the photos, so that'll be taking me through December 1st. And for those of you that have been waiting for remote sessions with James, on November 15th, I'll have the winter schedule up. His travel schedule has still been a little bit fluid, so it was premature to put it up November 1st when I thought we'd have it done.
You have a caller.
Thank you. Hi, it's Ashley. Who's this?
My name is Stephen.
Hi, Stephen. How are you? What would you like to share?
Oh, I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm good.
I had some questions, if that's okay with you.
Sure. Of course.
I was just curious. This may sound like a stupid question, but I have to ask. What does that mean exactly to hold the space?
That's a great question. There are no stupid questions. So thank you for having the courage to ask. So holding the space is kind of like going within a silent meditation into your heart center, right? And you can, if you're visual, you can see the water protectors filled with light and surrounded with love. And you can also see the policemen or the National Guard. You can see them either being beamed with love to kind of wake up their consciousness. And when I say love, I'm not talking about Hallmark holiday stuff, toys, and chocolates. I'm talking about that powerful frequency from divine source. So that's what holding space is. It's tuning in and sending your divine consciousness with your prayer or your intention or your healing. Does
that
help?
Another caller.
It does, yeah, actually, because I wasn't sure exactly, you know, what you meant by that. And yeah, basically, I was, you know, listening to you, and I was kind of struggling when I was listening to you because you were actually touching on a lot of things that I've kind of been struggling with, you know, recently. I'm usually a pretty level, you know, spiritual person, you know, whatever I guess you want to call that. But basically, lately I've found that I'm getting, I guess I'm feeling or showing more anger than I normally would. You know, because I'm upset. And I think when you said that you were really, you know, for either candidate at first originally, I was a little taken back by that because I guess I've got a pretty strong opinion about Hillary Clinton, and I know Donald Trump is not perfect, but, you know, in my eyes, it was, I believe that he's the one that could possibly start the change, and I could be wrong, I have my, so I thought it was interesting that you were talking about, you know, trying to hold space, and so anyhow, yeah.
I appreciate your honesty. We do have one more caller, but I do want to address this. You know, I honor all viewpoints, and I think for me, I am tired of the lesser of two evils.
I feel
that is a program that the powers that were have instituted a long time ago to make us feel like we have no way of changing things. Yeah?
I like that thought.
So for me, it's time to shake it up a little bit, right? I'm still hoping that the ETs come in and do something before Tuesday, I got to tell you.
I've been hoping that for over a century now or a decade. I mean, for quite a while, so we'll see, hopefully.
Yeah, and I hear that. And I think that no matter what happens, which follow-up novel
the election plays out, which timeline it will be what humanity needs for our evolution. I'm tired of taking the road with all the potholes and the speed bumps and the crashing into the walls, but if that's what humanity needs, that's what we need. So do the clearing, hold space, keep me posted, and we'll see what happens. And I thank you for your honesty.
Okay, thanks for taking my call. Okay, bye-bye.
It's a pleasure. And we have another caller, Doug.
Ashley?
We have a second caller. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
It's Brenda, I think.
It's Brenda.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you fine. Ashley, first of
all,
that was a really moving, that was a moving call. You made some really, really valid and enlightening points about forgiveness and, loving. So that definitely was very moving. I have a question from the beginning of the call when you were talking about Ben Fulford. And he had said that he had put out a letter basically giving the military a choice whether they were going to support the Constitution or not. Yet there was no real evidence that has been brought forward as of yet anyway. And I was just curious if the Republic is real with Paul Ryan.
That's a really good question. And it was Benjamin Fulford was quoting sources who said that General Dunsford had sent out this letter. General Dunsford is the commander of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. As I said, I personally went to someone I know in the military who's a son-in-law, and he had not gotten any letter, so I'm still waiting for proof of that. From everything James and I know here, from our sources through Winston and through RW and through the consulate that we're part of, it is still happening. The challenge is that the timeline is so fluid, right? There are so many pieces that need to come into play. Because of that, it's interesting to hold space for it, right? And it will all be revealed. I mean, I can tell you, James and I, when we have done tipping sessions, have asked certain questions. We've been given certain timelines. But I'm not comfortable. Maybe that's a sign of my own faith. I don't know. I'm not comfortable sharing those timelines because things are changing so quickly. But again, if we hold space for that, right? If we hold space for that and it still enforces that, yeah? There is another caller. Is there any other way I can help you? I don't want to cut you short, Brenda.
No, but you're feeling then the Republic is definitely real. I mean, I've been listening to the calls pretty diligently for the last 6 weeks since I found you guys.
Right.
And so that's encouraging,
In my reality, yes, the Republic is real because I don't want to live in any of those other realities.
I hear you, girl. I hear you.
All right, keep shining.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Aloha. Doug, do we have time for that other caller?
Another minute or two? Sure.
Thank you. Hi, this is Ashley. Who's this?
Hi, Ashley. This is Trish.
Hi, Trish. Welcome. How can I help, or what would you like to share?
Thank you for your beautiful messages. Well, I am a little confused. We're talking about forgiving Standing Rock circumstances and people, and yet we're not forgiving Hillary or Trump, Hillary or Donald. So can we not apply the same love all the way around?
That's a good point. I'm not saying I'm not forgiving Hillary or Trump. I'm just saying I'm not choosing them to lead the country. So as I say, going into unity consciousness, it's exactly the same thing. So that's where I feel that we need to go. And forgiveness is about holding a frequency for change. So when the water protectors are forgiving the police, they're not saying what the police are doing is right. They're just not holding anger towards them. Does that make sense?
Yes, I hear you. Uh-huh.
So the same thing applies to our current corrupted political system. I choose not to be angry at them because to me that lowers my frequency.
Okay.
But I can still say I choose none of the above because both of them have done pretty interesting things along their journey. Some, I'm not going to weigh into one over the other, but so forgiveness means we respond to their anger with love, so they respond to the police anger or the people with the bullets with love, but they're not bowing down to them. They're not giving up the cause of protecting the water at Standing Rock. So not going into anger against Hillary, which I choose not to do, or go into anger against Trump, which I choose not to do, doesn't mean that they are right. Does that make sense?
Yeah. What I'm seeing is Wednesday,
you can disagree
whoever,
if you want.
As long as they're alive, they have a light. Whether it's a tiny beam, tiny ray, I want to honor that and pray for the best. Thank you, Ashley. I love you.
I love you too, but I still clear reptilian. I'm not going to. So I think we might have actually gone off the air. I'm not sure if we're still on the air. Thank you all.
I'm hearing you. Thank you. Love you.
I choose not to open myself up to reptilians. That doesn't mean I'm angry at them. I'm just not going to invite them home for tea. Anyways, so we're coming to the end of the hour. I thank all of you for holding space, whether you were in harmony with what I shared or not. The opportunity to be here with you and hold space has been my honor. James will be back next week. Thank you and good night.